You're very welcome back to the Greg Hughes Podcast. Friday, March 20th, 2026 marks a date etched into the heart of Donegal and Derry. It's been 10 years since the evening at Buncrana Pier when a family trip ended in unimaginable tragedy. We remember Sean McGrotty, young Mark and Evan, their grandmother Ruth and their auntie Jodie Lee. Five lives lost when their car slipped into the waters of Lough Swilly. But amidst the darkness of that Sunday in 2016, there was a flicker of hope. Baby Raina was handed through a broken window by her father into the arms of a rescuer, becoming the sole survivor. Today we are joined by Louise James. Louise shares the harrowing reality of that day, from the gut feeling she had while away in Liverpool to the moment she arrived at the hospital and saw a sign her mother promised she'd send a simple elephant on a baby's dummy. We discuss the complex wave of grief over the last decade, the guilt of laughing, the difficulty of watching the world move on, and the resilience required to build a life for the daughter who remains. This is a story of loss, but above all, it's a story of a mother's enduring love and the strength to keep a family's memory alive. Louise James, thank you very much for joining us. How are you keeping?
Okay.
Yeah. We're speaking 10 years after this awful tragedy, a tragedy that's of the scale that it, for you, but even for those of us watching on, it seems almost unbelievable that something so terrible could happen.
I know. It has it. It feels like it happened yesterday. It feels like a blink of an eye. Mm. But it's a hard one to swallow.
As much as you're comfortable talking about it, take us back to that day and how your day unfolded for you.
Oh, really? Okay. So I got up that morning and phoned Sean, and I just felt like, you know, I just felt like something was going to happen. You know, I just felt like something was wrong, and he reassured me everything was grand and for me to enjoy myself, and that I'd be home that night and everything would be grand. But it didn't leave me. I just had this awful gut feeling that I needed to get home. So when we left, we fast forward into the town. I phoned Jodie, chatting away there on the phone. And she had told me that Sean was coming to get her to pick her up for dinner. They were going for dinner. And so when I was chatting to Jodie, you know, Mark came on and told me he loved me and did I buy him anything? And then Evan came on and he told me he couldn't wait to get home. He wanted to give me a hug. And if he was sleeping when I came home, would I wake him up to give him a hug? And I said, of course I will. And I said, tell Daddy to give you a bath. I said, tell Daddy to give you a bath. And he said, he's not cutting my nails. Will you trim them when you come home? I don't want him to cut my nails. And I said, I will, sweetheart. And then I told Jodie to look after them. They all told me they loved me. I told them I loved them. And I said, I'll see you when I get home. And we hung up. And about 15 minutes later, I had like somebody had put their hand into my chest and ripped my heart out.
And that was before you'd heard the news?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Where does that come from? Is it spiritual? Is it just a parental or maternal connection? Or
I don't know.
It faith-based?
Well, it could be a combination of all three. Yeah. You know, I do have faith. And yeah, it was a hard one. No, I tried to ring her back and the phone wouldn't connect. So I phoned my brother and it just took off from there. You know, everything unfolded then.
As a parent, listening to those final conversations, it's unimaginable.
Yeah.
Even the fact that you, as difficult as it is, that you can relate that. Does that bring you comfort, those final words?
Yeah, of course.
It does, yeah.
Because I was able to tell them that I loved them. Yeah. They told me that they loved me. They told me that they couldn't wait till I came home to see me. So, yeah, it's a wee bit of comfort to know that I did see them. But there's still a lot of guilt there with me, knowing that I wasn't there.
Yeah,
So that'll be...
Are you being fair to yourself there?
I don't know, but I'll always be guilty for that.
But that's you, and you have... And maybe that's part of the whole web of emotions, so it's not up to anyone else to take that from you, but
no.
I do understand where you're coming from. How soon after that gut wrench, were you actually aware of the news and the extent of it? Because, you know, this was a tragedy on an all different scale.
Well, we got on the flight. I was on the phone to my brother Joshua, and he told me to turn my phone off. Mm. He just said, switch your phone off. There's been an accident in Bunkrana. Have you been on social media? And I said, no, because I had turned everything off. They saved my battery. And he said, right, go on, switch your phone off. Don't be on anything. And we get on the flight. And when the flight came on the land, the girl across from me had turned on her phone.
Right.
And I seen that it had said, black SUV. Mm. And I knew you then.
You knew that confirmed that feeling that you'd had.
Hmm. So I ran. I get up and I just run. I just kept running. And when we got to the baggage where your bags come out, my phone was ringing, and as I was running I was switching my phone on, and I answered it, and it was Joshua. And the first thing he said was, "Are you listening to me?" And I said, "Are they all gone?"
That's unbelievable.
And he said, yeah, but... And at the stage, I dropped the phone and everything, and he had said to me, are you listening to me? Because Raina's in the hospital. And I said, is she okay? And he goes, I don't know anything yet. The police is here. He said, and they've just said that they're gone, but you need to come home. Promise me. He said, promise me you'll meet me in Letterkenny. Mm. And I said, right, I will.
And you have clarity of that. Mm. You know, I don't know, maybe sometimes it's how the mind helps us, but sometimes we can block things like that.
Yeah.
But you've got absolute clarity of how everything unfolds.
Yeah, in love with me forever.
Even to that lady switching on her phone, it all is part of this jigsaw of a story. When you got to Letterkenny, obviously, this was, just absolute confirmation of the news that you already knew.
Yes. So... we went to see Raina first, and obviously she had the wee dummy, and I spoke about that on the Tommy Tiernan show where she had the wee dummy, and it was confirmation for me because my mum always talked about elephants being her sign, and the wee elephant was on the dummy. And then Mark Traynor, the guard that was in charge, and the doctor, they came in, and myself and my four brothers, we went to the morgue and we identified them. Mm. And that was tough.
Yeah. Because to all intents and purposes, they probably looked like they were asleep.
Yeah. And, you know, you wanted to wake them up.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to take them home. Mm. I said to the doctor, can I just take them home, you know? And they just sort of stood there and looked at me, but... you know, it's your babies at the end of the day.
And I think too, you know, primarily it's what you're going through as well. But I'd imagine as much of the people in these hospitals deal with, or the emergency services, or the guards, this is one that will stay with them forever as well.
Yes.
How did Raina come to survive?
So when the cure went down, there was a few people on the shore, the slipway. So David had swam in, and her father handed her out to David, and he swam back. When he swam back, Connie and Teresa McIntyre was on the slipway along with all the emergency services and helped David out with Raina.
And how old is she now?
She's 10.
She's 10. Mm. And is there a wee journey you have to have with her emotionally as well?
Of course, yeah. I mean, she knows everything, you know.
Yeah.
She knows everything that happened. She knows it's her story too. You know, I tell her she's never to be afraid to ask questions. You know, when she does, she'll ask whatever she can.
And I suppose she has to understand sometimes there's not answers to those questions, and that's part of the whole process, isn't
part
it?
Part of the process.
And then obviously, as anyone who's watching or listening to this, then, you know, you've the wakes and the funeral.
Yeah. And that's tough, you know, bringing them home. But in a way, it was nice because, as I said, I'll forever be grateful to David for saving her, for her father, for handing her out the window. Because if it wasn't for Sean handing his daughter out the window, Davin wouldn't have been able to get her.
No, that's part of the whole process,
you know,
isn't it?
So, you know, she can be grateful to her daddy for that. Also, I have to be grateful to him because if he hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here myself. You know, because I would have just ended my life too.
Yeah, because as hard as that is to say out loud, I mean, everything was taken from you.
Yeah, in the blink of an eye.
Mm.
You know, so.
And without real, I mean, you can have inquests, you can have explanations, you can have reasons, but it doesn't really cover it, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't cover the loss and the event.
No, and it never will. You know, as I've always said, I'll never move on, but we can learn to move forward.
Mm.
You know, and this is, I know I've never spoke out in the last 10 years, and that's because I would have spoke to my friends and family and people that asked. I know I'm not afraid to talk about it. I just haven't spoke openly about it to TV, radio, or papers because I felt like it was mine and I needed to work through it for me to get the strength to actually say, right, now I'm ready. And now I'm ready.
Yeah, but also too, you had you had a lot to contend with too.
Yeah,
you know, you had a job to do. You had a job to do with yourself. You had a job to do with Raina, and there's other people in this story as well that aren't necessarily directly affected, but they're all part of it as
well. They are. Yeah.
The wake and the funeral in a loss, even a loss as severe as this, there's a process there, and we get through that, and there's ups and downs. But then obviously that's done.
Mm.
And what was it like for you at that point then too, where the last of the people left the house? I'm sure there was always people with you, right? But there's just this, right now, this is the new, what I'm going to have to deal with here.
It's hard because I had such a busy household, you know, two boys, and now this newborn baby, and Sean and myself, and Jodie would have came up and stayed a lot. They just having a 4-month-old baby, you know. So my brother moved on with me for a few months, and then when it was ready for him, he felt like he needed to move out and leave me. And even that was hard. You know, it was nearly like another wee bit of a loss, but he needed to find his feet too, you know.
But yeah, I suppose you didn't want to anchor him too much either.
You know, and I didn't want to, as much as he was my rock, I didn't want him feeling that I needed to rely on him.
Mm. Grief, right, grief or trauma has to be in here as well.
Yeah.
Grief and trauma are bedfellows, but they're not necessarily the same either.
No.
How did you cope, get through those early days? I presume rain is a big part of that story, right?
I felt like I just existed.
Yeah.
You know, say like your body's here, but your mind's not. You know, you just exist, and you just take one day at a time, or you just float through each day.
Mm-hmm.
A while after, you know, it was hard too because there was so much media attention and so many people wanting a story.
See, that's another thing that we forget about. I don't. We have a certain way here of dealing with things like that, and we take a step back, to be honest with you, because there's no advantage in us trampling on people's grief. And I'm not having a go at anyone else, I'm just saying that's the way it's at. But you are going to be conscious of that. You're going to be conscious of the talk, or even if there's a counsellor comes out and says, you know, we need to review all the slips in the county or something like that there. That's actually really personal to this whole thing for you, isn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, which we, you know, it's worth considering. Day after day, so day by day, did you have those moments whereby for a moment you forgot or didn't realise?
Yeah.
And then that second wave almost?
I remember the first time it happened was I didn't sleep. My sleeping pattern was off still is, but I didn't sleep for a long time. And I remember I fell asleep and then I jumped up and ran to the back room and was like, oh, he's late for school, he slept in. And then the beds are made and they're empty. And I remember sitting on the floor for about 2 hours crying, you know, just sitting there going, oh, he's aren't here.
Yeah, that's cruel, isn't it? Mm. That really is cruel. No one should ever, ever, ever have to do that.
You know, it's hard enough with one, but with the two of them, it was hard.
Yeah. Okay. And the persons that probably would be best placed to be there for you.
We're gone too.
So at what stage did you have a bit of clarity that you could sort of move forward without this constant stop-start of life, or is it still the same?
Still the same.
Still the exact same.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's days you don't want to get out of your bed. Mm. There's days you don't want to leave the house. And that's okay. We're allowed to do that. It's part of grief. It's part of the grieving process. You can't stop yourself from doing it. Mm. Just don't stay there.
Do you think, really, I suppose, unless you've been in it, a lot of people think, well, time's a great healer, which is a lot of nonsense, right? And that you'll get over it or you'll move past it. That's not really helpful, is it? No. You have to carry it with you. It has to be part of you.
It's part of me.
Going forward.
You know, it is. It'll always be part of me. Mm. It'll never leave me. It is what it is.
Nor would you want the boys to leave you or your partner.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they are a big part of me.
So 10 years is an anniversary, right? But there's anniversaries every which way you go, isn't there?
Yeah.
It could be something that's happened in school that you think I should be there.
Yeah.
It could be when you met your partner, Christmas, birthdays.
Yeah.
There must be like, it feel like there's three a month.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Every corner we turn, there's another one.
Yeah.
But what I done was, I didn't do anything for any of them because I feel guilty because if I do one, something for one, I feel like I need to do it for them all.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, no, we'll do the walk on their 10th anniversary and we'll celebrate them all, we'll celebrate their life, and it'll be a nice, happy moment because they were playing in the park in Bunkrana, and that's where I want to do it because that's where they were playing and they were laughing.
Yeah, and just in relation to grief and how you coped, it got harder.
Yeah.
Which is, can you put a finger on that as to why that is? Is it because maybe early on, everything was frozen in time, and
I think at the time you're existing, so you don't think about what you're actually going through.
Mm-hmm.
People, the community can be fantastic as well. Community is, your family's great too. You know, everybody's rallying around you, and they're there. And then the door closes, and everybody gets back to their own life.
Mm-hmm.
And then as time moves on, they think, oh well, they're all right. No, it's been 2 years, but for me that. Third year, they seem to be the hardest.
How are you dealing with happy moments in your life, right? Because there has to be some too.
Yeah, of course there is.
Do you allow yourself, are you good at enjoying them, if you know what I mean?
I do. And then in my own space, I'll feel guilty for it.
Mm.
You know, I don't show it at the time, but it's there.
And do you ever do grief counselling?
I did, yes.
And did that work well for you?
It did, yes. You know, I'd done that for 6 years. We married her in Altnagavan.
Yeah.
You know, and she doesn't call it counselling. She calls it psychology.
So okay, she's not a counsellor. That sounds even more scary.
I'm a psychologist.
Doesn't.
Yeah, it does. So, yes, Mary was fantastic. And there was a lot that I wouldn't have been able to do without Mary.
Brilliant.
You know.
Okay, that's good. Now, a book. You're working on a book, which I think is really interesting. How far into the project are you? Is it ready to publish? Are you just at the beginning?
Well, no, we're probably halfway through.
Yeah.
You know, so it's taken its toll to, you know, that's an emotional roller coaster, but some of it's good. It is a tearjerker. Obviously, it's about, you know, my experience of what happened that night.
How much leading up to it do you talk about it? How much, you know, do you set the scene? Do you start at that awful tragedy? Or
no,
do we learn
I don't.
More about
so,
your family?
Yes, so it's about the boys. I want people to know who they were.
Yep.
I want their personalities to come across. I've also asked several of their friends to write a wee bit in about how they became to know them and you know, because for me, they have a voice too.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention the friends, isn't it? Because again, that's another cohort of people.
Yeah.
That there has to be an explanation on a Monday or a Tuesday in school as to where
yeah.
their classmates are, where their friends are.
That was a big thing for Evan and Mark's friends, you know, to go on to school the next day and them not be there, you know, not be at their desk, especially in primary school when they have the same wee chair.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And also, you know, I mean, obviously, this is short format, so we can only learn so much about it. And in a book process, you can go into far more detail yeah. about your grief.
Yes.
About human resilience, which is astonishing. And mm-hmm. I think your resilience is channeled through your daughter as well, too, isn't it? That's where it came from. And also to, you know, what we've talked about a little bit, like hope, the future, being happy yeah. at times and stuff. But it's not all roses, as you've been outlining. But
no.
I think for those that need to hear it, it's going to be very relatable.
Yeah. I mean, we do have to love as well, you know. Obviously, it wasn't my time to go, and I'm here and I have to look after Raina. And who's better to tell her the stories about her brothers and her daddy and her granny and her auntie than me? You know, nobody else can tell her them stories. So when we sit down to talk, she loves hearing stories. She loves hearing about them or where they've been or where we've been on holidays. She looks at photographs and she'll say to me, "No, tell me about this one."
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice to talk about them and it brings back your happy memories.
Yeah, of course it does. And it makes her know she's got a family.
Yeah.
It's not obviously traditional because
no,
it's not.
I know, it's not normal.
Yeah, exactly. But
she knows that she belongs to something.
Exactly, precisely, yeah. And she's part of a unit, all
yeah.
Which is an amazing. Which is so. You know, they talk about this whenever there's an interview about a book. They say cathartic, right? You know, and often it's about working through something and you feel great after it. This is different,
yeah.
Because obviously it's triggering some lovely memories and emotions, and I'm sort of laughed through tears,
yes.
doing some of it. But also too, you're really even more so than you might in any interview like this. You're really having to get into how you felt and how it made you feel,
yeah.
Has that been a benefit to you in the process, or is that another thing that you happen to work through a little bit that's making things harder for you?
No, because I talk about that all the time.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
You know, when we're talking about it, you know, it affects you in so many different ways. And sometimes it unfolds something that you didn't know was there, you know, a feeling that was there. And we deal with it there and then.
And the book, when are you hoping for it to be published this year?
Hopefully this year.
Brilliant. Okay. And are you working with someone on that?
I am, Julianne Campbell.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
So you're in safe hands.
Yeah. So Julianne's helping me. She's my ghostwriter, as you would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's your story, but it's nice to have someone to help you
yes.
structure it.
So. And it's an emotional roller coaster for her too.
I would say so. I would say so, because she's there with you in it, isn't it? Now, there is a Remembrance Mass that's taking place in the not-too-distant future. Talk to
yes.
me about that.
So, having Mass. My voice is going again.
I think, you know what? It's held up really well, because when we began this, I was wondering,
would
we get to 10 minutes? But here we are. No, you have another sup of coffee. Yes, the Remembrance Mass.
So that's going to take place on Friday the 20th of March, their anniversary. And that'll be in the Holy Family Chapel in Gorty.
And what tone is that? Are you going, is that a straight up remembrance mass or?
Yeah, an anniversary remembrance
yeah,
mass.
Yeah, okay, very
yeah.
good. Raina must be just the apple of your eye, the light in your heart, the absolutely everything. You can't spoil
yeah.
it too much either.
No,
right?
I don't.
Yeah.
She gets told no a lot.
The people that were there on that day, I mentioned it a little bit earlier on, right? You know, the people that responded to it, the Coast Guard. There's so many different people involved. I suppose too, the book is an opportunity to give them a thanks as well, because I'm sure
definitely.
They appreciate.
Do you know what? That's the whole reason for me doing the interview was to thank. As I said on Tommy Tiernan, no, I don't know them all individually, but this is my way of saying thank you to them. And as I said to them before, you know, my family might not have came home alive, but I got them home, and I got them home together.
Mm.
I was able to say my goodbyes to them, and I was able to let family and friends see them too. So for me, this is a thank you to David for saving Raina along with her father, and to Connie and Teresa, but also to the guards, to the Bunkrana Fire Service, the Fire Service in Derry also, to Now Dock, to Greencastle Coast Guard, to Rescue 118, to who else? The Mountain Head.
You should have worn your glasses for this. I'm going to help you.
Yes.
Rescue 118, which do amazing work.
They
the
do.
Scottish Econo, the Divisional Controller at Mallon Head Coast Guard, which is a really important part of bringing everything
yes.
together. The ambulance services that responded to
yes.
that, it was seen as a major incident, and
yeah.
all resources were thrown in that direction. And interestingly, undertakers.
Yes, and that's the big thing for me too.
Yeah, because, you know, no one wants to see them coming
no,
right,
I know.
Okay?
But for me, that's,
they know how to
yes.
treat you.
Yeah, and for me, it was, you know, I wanted to thank the undertakers because, mm. you know, they bring them home in their wee, to let you see them in their wee personalities,
and
you know, come through.
It's the sensitivity and respect
yes.
with which they're treated. They're treated with the same love that you had for
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
The Donegal County Council Marine Engineer as well.
Yes.
You wanted to thank. And Father John Walsh.
I've never actually met him, but yes, a thank you to him too. You know, and God rest Father Paddy.
Mm.
O'Kane, Father Paddy O'Kane. Mm. Well, you know, God rest him. He was, he had a lot to deal with that time too.
Yeah, indeed. And what's the future hold for you? Obviously, you've got the book. Are you into writing, or is
no.
this just something? Is this
definitely,
no, just interesting?
Not.
But so, why is this so important to you then? I mean, you know, is it about paying tribute to all the people we mentioned, to pay tribute to your family?
Yeah.
To remember them?
It's
let people understand that, not that anyone would, but it isn't a headline, that these are real people
yes.
that were so important and
well,
it's so much.
That's part of it. The other part is. It's for Raina,
mm.
because I'm not always going to be here, and hopefully one day she has a family of her own, and if they have questions, then it's there in a book.
And of course, there's a couple of major things coming up. We talked about the book, which will be released later in the year. There is a walk taking place as well, isn't there? That
yes.
is in Bunkrana.
On the 22nd of March at
okay.
11 o'clock. So if anybody wants to register, they can go online on Facebook or Instagram. And there is also a gala ball. And if they need tickets for that, tickets are available.
And that's in the Ebrington, and that coincides with your mum's...
That's on my mum's birthday, so that'll be Friday the 8th of May.
Okay.
And if there's any businesses out there that want to donate or sponsor a table, we would be more than happy to accept.
Brilliant stuff. And is that a fundraiser?
It is. So, so all the money that I raise is going to... The majority of it is going to the RNLI. But some of it is going to the fire service and the Coast Guard as well.
That's fantastic. Okay, so we'll link all of the information under this post. Don't forget the walk on the 22nd of March and then that wonderful gala ball on your mummy's birthday
yeah.
in the Ebrington Hotel in Maine.
Yeah.
Okay, listen.
Thank you.
Louise James, thank you so much for calling down and chatting to us. We really do appreciate it, and keep an eye out for that book, because I've no doubt... firstly, it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for us to learn more about your lovely family that you so sadly lost, but also too, there'll be lessons in there for dealing with very difficult times.
Yeah,
as well.
Thank you.
Louise James, thanks.
And as we close today's episode, we hold in our thoughts the families whose lives were forever changed at Bunkrana Pier 10 years ago this Friday. Louise's journey reminds us that grief isn't a straight line. It's the guilt of a laugh, the weight of the quiet years, and the courage to keep living for those who aren't here to see it. Keep an eye out for Louise's book coming later in 2026. It's a testament to resilience and a way to ensure their names and stories continue to be told. And perhaps... if you see an elephant this week, take a moment to remember the signs of love that stay with us, even when people are gone. Thank you again to Louise for her incredible bravery in sharing her story today, and thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, and don't forget, if you've got any feedback, you can email the researcher and producer of this podcast, Caroline Orr, at highlandradio.com.